God's Law of Health, Bishop Robert L. Simpson, Robert L. Simpson, Conference Report, April 1963, pages 52-55, a great prophet who lived 2,500 years ago stated that, men are, that they might have joy. The Church of Jesus Christ in this day holds fast to this inspired scripture as an eternal truth. The quest for joy and happiness is common to all regardless of race, color or creed. While the objective is common, the understanding on how to achieve it is often another story. The existence of man in this mortal sphere finds him involved in a grand system of physical force and physical law, all held together and seemingly preset into a magnificent system of amazing order and synchronization. We marvel at the seasons, the celestial bodies, all about us as evidence of natural law and an overwhelming suggestion of divine assemblage. The laws of gravity, heat, and motion all follow precise patterns under given conditions. If we enter the fiery furnace, we die. If we attempt to defy the laws of gravity, we are killed. If our car sweeps along the highway uncontrolled, we crash, and we must all agree that the human body in similar manner is subject to the law and order of the universe, for it is physical. Obedience to the law, whether it be physical, intellectual, or spiritual, brings harmony, peace, joy, and happiness. This thinking was confirmed by the Master, who said through the prophet Joseph Smith, "There is a law, irrevocably decreed in heaven before the foundations of this world, upon which all blessings are predicated, and when we obtain any blessing from God, it is by obedience to that law upon which it is predicated. We are blessed by obedience to law. Transgression of the law always brings unhappiness. Carried to the extreme, it could mean death. I believe with all my heart that natural law is the handiwork of a loving Father in heaven, and I further bear record that this same loving Father has not left us without specific instruction concerning the care of our physical bodies, for He created us, and He knows that true happiness and total growth, moral, spiritual, and intellectual, are largely dependent upon our physical well-being." Through this same great latter-day prophet Joseph Smith, the Lord has revealed an entire volume of scripture known as the Doctrine and Covenants. In the 89th section of this inspired work, the Lord gives to all men who would listen what He calls a word of wisdom. Let us read a part of this inspired revelation, starting with the fourth verse, and then merely highlight the following five verses in the interest of time. "Behold, verily, thus saith the Lord unto you, in consequence of evils and designs which do and will exist in the hearts of conspiring men in the last days, I have warned you, and forewarn you, by giving unto you this word of wisdom by revelation, that inasmuch as any man drinketh wine or strong drink among you, behold, it is not good, neither meat in the sight of your Father, comma strong drinks are not for the belly, but for the washing of your bodies, and again, tobacco is not for the body, neither for the belly, and is not good for man, but is an herb for bruises and all sick cattle, to be used with judgment and skill." We are further instructed that the evil designs of conspiring men has a reference to them who would ply us with a never-ending tidal wave of propaganda in an attempt to convince us that it is not only popular but safe and smart to violate this God-given law of health. Now, to clarify a few terms, this also by revelation, strong drink signifies all alcoholic beverages, tobacco is explicit and needs no clarification. This reference includes all forms of tobacco. The term hot drinks has reference to coffee and tea. To summarize quickly, alcohol and tobacco, tea and coffee are all contrary to the Lord's law of health, and all who violate the law for a borrowed moment of so-called pleasure must be prepared to sacrifice some real and lasting joy and happiness that should rightfully be theirs. Thomas A. Edison has said, "To put alcohol in the human brain is like putting sand in a machine." He further commented, "I employ no one who smokes cigarettes. I wonder whether we are all aware of these scientifically proven facts about alcohol. Alcohol is not a stimulant but a depressant of the brain and nervous system. It is a habit-forming drug and has poisonous effects on the body. It has no value as a food." In the United States, there are nearly 1 million alcoholics, with nearly 2.25 million well on the way. This is a national disgrace. Mental accuracy is impaired by alcohol, and in chronic cases, the brain cells degenerate. Approximately 12,000 alcoholic patients are given psychiatric treatment in a single New York hospital each year. Gladstone has observed that the ravages of drink are greater than those of pestilence and famine combined. Now, we must surely agree with this great man, as it has contributed to the loss of more homes, led to more bankruptcies, more crime, more accidents, more broken marriages, more cases of blindness, more derelicts of society, more immorality, more suicides, than any other single influence known to man today. Yes, it is certain that out of compassion for his children a loving Heavenly Father has given a modern-day revelation that strong drinks are not for our benefit. A similar wake of destruction follows the careless rampage of tobacco among men, women, and children. Would you believe that tobacco costs the American people over $3,600,000,000 a year? Do you know that the purchase of cigarettes last year in the United States increased about 4%? This means that the vast majority of smokers are ignoring the overwhelming evidence of competent medical authority now available concerning the lethal effect of tobacco on the human anatomy. The American Cancer Society reports that lung cancer is 95% fatal, and then the report goes on to say that evidence proves that 3/4 of all lung cancer cases can be traced to the use of tobacco. The American Public Health Association, based on its findings, estimates that 1 million American children now in school will die of lung cancer before they reach their God-granted life expectancy. Now, in a sense, this is a form of national suicide, and we do not have the right to shorten human life. And now this, perhaps the saddest of all commentary, a staff of experts studying the tobacco problem have concluded that the upward trend in the use of tobacco among the children can be traced directly to a more permissive attitude on the part of parents. Perhaps we shouldn't talk so much about what the schools aren't doing as we should talk about what parents should be doing, and this is as it should be. Our children should be taught in the home. I would like to make an appeal to every parent who loves his children. Why not start today and set the proper example for those we love? Now, time will not permit us to go into the cases of coffee and tea, but suffice it to say that the Lord has recognized these stimulants as habit-forming and contrary to the freedom He wants so much for all of His children. Now, if you really knew that your child was in danger, if you were told that conspiring men were meeting your children on their way home from school, going all out to attract their attention and condition their minds toward the acceptance of a bad habit, wouldn't you feel compelled to do something about it? Why? Of course you would do something that very day, but while let the conspiring men stand on a cold corner, we are allowing them to accomplish the same evil practice in the comfort and convenience of our homes every day. Now here's a challenge for us. Let's do something about it. Parents, let me read a letter from a confused youngster. I think this has real merit. This young man was a typical TV fan. He is writing to his favorite baseball player. You are my favorite baseball player. I saw a TV ad where you say you smoke cigarettes and that you like them. I guess they help you. My mother says cigarettes are bad and good players don't use them. I want to be a good player. Can you tell me? Are they good for you? Would you please tell me? Signed, Hector. P.S. I am 10 years old. Well, the answer was slow in coming, but after a few weeks, dear Hector, yes, I was in a cigarette advertisement on television. I would not recommend for anyone to ever start smoking. It does not help one in athletics. I hope that you will take your parents' advice not to smoke. Now, as these young minds are being conditioned by conspiring men, we see history repeating itself. This is the same technique that took 11 years back in the late 20s and early 30s. Some of you might remember, to make it appear smart, modern, and acceptable for a woman to be seen in public with a cigarette. This all started back in 1927 when the first billboard ad appeared, showing a man and woman relaxing on a beautiful hilltop. He was smoking, and her comment was simply this, "Please blow some my way." Rather harmless, "Please blow some my way." From this subtle beginning, the well-planned campaign took 11 years before the billboard dared to show a woman with a cigarette in her hand or mouth. Had the latter billboard been shown at first, we would have been up in arms, and something would have been done about it in a hurry. And now, unfortunately, in this campaign for the approval of our children's minds, there is hardly a TV commercial or a tobacco billboard that does not include a child admiring a bribed athlete who is making a statement that he probably doesn't believe in. Or perhaps we see a family situation, apparently a wholesome family situation, dad rollicking with the children but with a cigarette in his hand. Yes, trying to start the same type of campaign all over again, this time aimed at children. Now, all of this talk is not designed to show how foolish we are. We're just being victimized. The Lord understood all of this well in advance, and He told us that the very elect would be deceived by the evils and designs of conspiring men. I am sure He had this in mind, so we condemn no one at this point. But, forewarned is forearmed. May we not stand idly by and allow the cream of the nation, our hope for tomorrow, the finest youth in all history, to be quietly and softly led away to habits of bondage and unhappiness. Their only hope is a parent who cares enough. Incidentally, would you like to be a better citizen? Would you like to contribute the maximum effort to your nation and community? Only those who are physically fit can expect to make the maximum contribution and fulfill his obligation to society as he should. Now, much is being said about national fitness in all countries. Let us join with other clear-thinking citizens who are not adverse to happiness and joy. Let's prove that it's smart to do what is right. There is no doubt at this point what the instructions from the Lord are. Now, one country in a recent national survey found that 9% of its national income was being spent for liquor and tobacco. Assuming that many of this nation were abstainers, certainly more than 10% of the income of those indulging was being spent to satisfy their poor habits. It is interesting to note that the Lord has promised to open the windows of heaven to those willing to impart 10% of their income to the upbuilding of His kingdom. This is perhaps the most gracious, the most promising, the most generous of all contracts offered by the Lord to those He loves. And yet, there are millions who are spending more than 10% to an enslaving habit, and instead of opening the windows of heaven, they are slamming the door on a promise of happiness and joy that no man, in my opinion, has the right to deny himself. And so I conclude this plea by turning back to the 89th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, and here is the promise the Lord concludes with, the most stimulating promise of all Holy Writ concerning the day-to-day welfare of His children, and all who remember to keep and do these sayings, walking in obedience to the commandments, shall receive health in their navel and marrow to their bones, and shall find wisdom and great treasures of knowledge, even hidden treasures, and shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint, and I, the Lord, give unto them a promise, that the destroying angel shall pass by them, as the children of Israel, and not slay them. And so, when we obtain any blessing from God, it is by obedience to that law upon which it is predicated. Let's heed Elijah's challenge. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him, but if Baal, then follow Him. And so I say in conclusion, again from the Doctrine and Covenants, I, the Lord, am bound when you do what say, but when you do not what I say, ye have no promise. May we be obedient to law that we may have true joy, eternal happiness, and peace of mind is my prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.